Talk Radio. I'm Cindy Sansone-Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian. Not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. But hello, Nicole. You're thundering. I'm thundering. I guess we're all thundering
everywhere.
Oh, my
goodness.
Huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we hope we don't get the big wins, okay? We don't need wins because we don't seem to do
well
with wins.
What's actually funny about that is that Lisa went out earlier when she got home. She was like, oh, man, she's like, it is windy out there. So I think that we might be in for some winds. And I know that earlier today I heard something about a tornado watch in our area, in addition to thunderstorms. So, yeah, so it's lovely, lovely weather. I swear New York has turned into Seattle suddenly. I don't even know how the hell that happened.
I know, and it's like, have mercy on us, please, you know, dread the thought, you know, we don't want any more power outs, you know. And they haven't cleaned up the stuff. It's all over the roads, and it's very dangerous. It's causing a lot of accidents because there's trees are in the middle of the road, and like all that stuff is going to blow. Like, it is dangerous. And it's like,
my mother-in-law is actually just, you be careful and watch your belongings too, Cindy, because my mother-in-law is actually not that far from you. She's actually in Holbrook, so that's much closer to you than I am. But she said that there's big hail, you know, things falling down there. So I don't know, I lost my words there for a second. But, yeah, so she's like, golf ball-sized hail is falling down in Holbrook right now, in Holbrook, New York. So, yeah, definitely, be careful. Watch your car. Hope you got glass coverage just in case.
Oh, brother, I know. It's enough already, isn't it? You know,
it's
a crazy stuff. And
well, you know, this is killing me, too, because, like, you know, you yelled at me last week or whatever and told me, hey, you know, just make sure that I'm taking care of myself and, you know, I'm working too much, et cetera, et cetera. And the one thing that I do in the summertime to decompress is ride my motorcycle. And for weeks now, I have not been able to even ride my bike because every time I want to go ride it, it is either thunderstorms or it is friggin' 90 degrees with 75% humidity, and I can't be on a motorcycle in that kind of weather. So
no.
I really, really need this to be the last thunderstorm for a little while, you know, so I can get some time in on my damn bike.
Well, we don't know what's going to happen with Laura. If Hurricane Laura we may get some remnants of that too, but you can't ride your motorcycle for the same reason we can't ride our bike, because there's too much trees in the road and it's dangerous, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I can't believe that we're going to have all these winds, and if they don't clean up that stuff, it's going to be everywhere, flying everywhere. I can't believe how many weeks they have left it in this. We have, like, whole trees out here, like, just chopped up and just in the road. It's incredible. And TJ got in an accident with it. A big log from a tree, and he hit that, went under his car, and almost turned the car over. He went into all the trees, and it didn't look like such bad damage, but it ruined the suspension in the car. It totaled the car. He didn't get hurt.
He's okay.
He didn't get hurt, but that's why I tell people, Like, if it's in front of your house, can you just make sure it's not in the street, please? Like, you know, when it's going to wind, it's going to blow people, the stuff back in the street. So it is really dangerous. So please stay safe. And I don't know. This has been, we ready for 2021?
You know? Oh, totally. Totally.
Just when we thought it couldn't get any worse.
I seriously, you know, and it's crazy, though, if you really think about it, though, we are almost in September.
Yes,
like,
we are.
We're almost in September. We've got literally about 3 more months to the end of 2020. Would you ever have imagined from how we started in February that we would be here now the way that we are?
No, I wouldn't.
I can't. I hope that the world starts to slow down. I hope sincerely that people, you know, find some sort of common sense, because aside from, you know, this whole friggin' coronavirus being absolutely nuts, people have gone fucking nuts. And I really, really want everybody to gain, you know, some sense of perspective. And I want this dumpster fire that was 2020 to be over. And I want a better 2021 for everybody. That's all I want.
I know, that's for sure. And right before I got on our radio show, my brother Chris called me. I don't speak to him that often. He's in Hawaii. And by the way, it's hailing out here. And it's hailing. He delivered some sad news that our neighbor that lived across the street, Stephen, who I used to walk with every day home from school and talk all. I asked him, Stephen, when I talked to him last year, what did we talk about as we walked home? Because we never shut up and we never seemed to finish the conversation, but we talked. He goes, I don't remember. But he just died of cancer.
Aww.
So I feel very bad. So I just got that information right before I got on the phone. So it's been like a day, and now the thunderstorms and the hail. Okay, like, what else? It's like we have the hail and are there locusts, and there's like, you should hear it. It sounds, you cannot believe, like, the size of this hail hitting the windows and hitting everything. It is unbelievable. It's just unbelievable.
We don't have any hail over here. Actually, you want to hear something funny? While the radio show started, as soon as I started talking about the hail, it started to rain. And now it has stopped raining. On only one side of my pond.
Oh.
I am seeing the water come down on my side of the pond, but when I look across the pond at my neighbor's side, which is diagonal to my apartment, there are no raindrops on that side. It's only the one.
Oh. Well, it is weird.
That is nuts.
You're going to hear the sound effects of hail pelting on my window. So it is.
On your roof.
It's been,
oh,
it has boy. Been a. I don't know what else. Well, let's just put it this way. I'm glad I'm on the radio show, and because it keeps me from looking out there and being terrified. So
yeah,
we do have a lot of callers. And Kristen, I think, who we spoke to last week, she's the 502-1258
yep.
number,
yep.
wants to talk. So anybody else who wants to talk to us, please press 1. And let's
yep.
see what Kristen has to say, okay?
You got it. And then I will start going to scream some of the people that did just press 1. So here
okay,
we
perfect.
Go. Hello, Kristen. You're on the air.
Hi, Nicole and Cindy.
Hi, Kristen.
How are you?
Why don't you just like fill in our new, because not all the callers will know what we discussed. So can you just fill in
oh.
a little bit so they can know who you
right.
are?
Right. So last week I called and I was talking about a guy that I dated for over 2 years, has been on and off. He's run away about 11 times now over the last year and a half of our relationship, claims that it is due to all his fear. Both of our marriages ended because our spouses were unfaithful. We live in different towns about an hour and a half apart, and this most recent breakup was after he had decided to move here, took a job here, got an apartment, and 2 weeks before he was supposed to move and start the job, he decided to end things again. So obviously trust is pretty much destroyed, and I drew a boundary with him. A week later, he was texting me again and saying he loves me, wants to be with me, had these plans for us, but I asked him about moving here now. He said now he won't move here until at least next summer when I am done with nursing school. And I told him the long distance thing is not working for me anymore because I don't feel secure. I don't feel like he's committed. And if he has a town an hour and a half away to run to, then I'm afraid he'll run again, especially after now this time backing out on moving here and a great job opportunity and all of that. So we pretty much left it at that. We were sort of at an impasse. And I had not heard from him for 2 weeks. Today made 2 weeks. And then I was actually getting ready to go into my counseling appointment this afternoon, and he texted me. And at first I just thought, well, it's just his usual, you know, after a week or so, he'll text me and say, how are you doing? And start up conversation again. And then he sent like 5 consecutive texts, like one after another. And so he informed me that he had just gotten some dental work done. And I thought, oh, yeah, he told me that he lost a crown the other day, whatever. And then he said that his mom and dad took him back to the apartment. So and then I realized, oh, he had that dental work done. He was under anesthesia. So basically, he's drunk texting me.
Maybe they gave him some gas, nitrous oxide.
Oh, yeah. So, because I think he was put out for this because he's getting ready for some, getting a couple implants. And so he's having these oral surgeries. So I thought, oh, yeah, the last time he had this done, like a couple months ago or whatever, he was texting me after. And things were good at that point, but he was texting me after he got back home. And, you know, it was
maybe he's on pain pills. You think he's taking pain pills right now?
I don't know if he was taking anything after the anesthesia, but he was still loopy from the anesthesia. So, you know, it was just all of this last time a couple months ago, it was, oh, we should get married and have babies, and you're so pretty, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So today I thought, oh, yeah, okay, so he's under the influence and now is, like, uninhibited, whatever. So he asked a couple questions, and I did not respond right away because I was going into counseling, and I wanted to talk to my counselor about it. So I ended up, and I told him, I said, I would really like to take advantage of his altered state, you know, and see what he'll say. But I didn't have time. I needed to take advantage of my session. So I did text him while I was in the office, though, and he asked me how I was doing and how school was going. And so while I was sitting there at the beginning of my session, I just said, I'm not doing very well. How are you? And he said, his response to that was just, he said he saw one of my pictures on Facebook that was cute.
So he's orbiting you now, huh? The word for it. So, when they don't really talk to us or answer us, but they like to, like, orbit and like our Facebook stuff.
Mm-hmm. And put out feelers. Yeah. So then he said, I'm sleepy and sore. So I told the counselor, I'm like, oh, so he didn't even, and he said he didn't respond to you saying you're not doing well. And I was like, yeah, you noticed that? So he suggested that I just say again, I'm not doing very well. And he just responded to that with, covered up with school. Have you had any tests or quizzes yet? And I waited for a while to respond, and then I just said, if you're truly interested in what's going on with me, why don't you call me when you're sober? And I can see when he reads my messages, and he read that about 3.5 hours ago, and he hasn't responded. But he's probably been sleeping. I think he may have worked overnight last night before he went and had his dental work done. So he's probably been taking himself a nice nap. But we'll see if he responds at all to that. Or I made it a point to say, call me when you're sober, not text me.
Right.
Because no more of this cowardly texting stuff. You know, if you really care about me and want to know anything about how I'm doing or what's going on in my life, pick up the phone is now my position. So, I don't know. What do you think?
Right. Well, at this point, I think you're still being too nice to him. And that you have to kind of tell him, what's your intention in texting me? I don't need a text buddy. I don't need a friend. Okay, if you're ready to, you know, put your 2 feet in and have a relationship, then call me and we'll talk. But you can't keep letting, because it's become a toxic relationship now. And when it gets toxic, it becomes addictive. And it's like he's just giving you like a little shot of heroin and you're, you know, getting high on this. Like, you're hooked on him, and you have to stop this, because, you know, you're never going to break away from him if you keep talking to him every 2 weeks when he texts you, because you really need to go cold turkey from a person. So it's kind of like you can't allow him to just text you whenever he feels like it, because it opens up the wound. It he breadcrumbs you, gives you a little, like, he's still thinking of you. But all I'm hearing from him is me, 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 I. I'm not hearing us, we, you, okay? And, you know, it's, I'm not sure why you're even entertaining any of this anymore, why you haven't stated to him, I really don't need a text buddy anymore. So if you have something to say, and if it's about being in a committed relationship and moving this forward, I'm all ears. If not, don't contact me. Because he doesn't have to grow up if you keep enabling him and keep being nice to him. I want you to love yourself the way you love your children. Someone was pulling this crap on your daughter. How mad would you be?
Like, oh, yeah, I would be furious.
You'd be like, why are you talking to him?
I do believe that I am at a place now where I'm ready to have some very strong boundaries, and doesn't matter what he says about trying to move toward me again. I'm ready to just say, look, you are not healthy. You're not stable. You need help. And I can't be in a relationship with you until you get help and you've gotten yourself healed and you learn how to have a healthy grown-up relationship. But I am just curious, you know, like, I feel like I drew a boundary there and said, kind of sent the message, like, I'm not going to just entertain this small talk chit chat. And, you know, I'm not going to give you any information about me with low investment. If you really want to know, you really want that you really care, you know, picking up the phone is now my boundary. And if he does that, then I might just tell him a little bit about what's happening with me if he asks. But
what do you want from that? Do you just want someone who's going to come and go 11 more times? Like, you're enabling him not to commit to you. You're enabling him to be abusive. His behaviors are abusive. And it's, you know, it's not a healthy boundary. A healthy boundary is, look, we were in a relationship and you ran, in a relationship and you ran. So we're either in a relationship or we're not. There's no in between here. I'm not your friend. I'm not your text buddy. Like, I'm either your soulmate and we're in a relationship, or I'm nothing. Because he has to fear losing you more than loving you. He's terrified of this, of what this does. And, and, you know, you're enabling him not to realize his behaviors are going to lose you. You know, what he's doing is cruel. It's hurt you a lot. He keeps doing it. And, you know, good people are crap takers. We take a lot of crap and we enable people. But, you know, it's really not you know, I don't know why you even want to talk to him. What do you care? Like, what do you care what he has to say if he's not going to be in a relationship with you? I mean, what are you going to get out of this other than him stringing you along and, you know, not allowing you to find someone else or make space for someone else in your life? Because I don't see this guy. I don't, from what I can see here, I don't see this guy coming around anytime soon unless you, you know, really start being tough with him. And him, you know, actually realizing, oh, my God, I really lost her. Like, he just thinks I can do this to her 11 more times. He did it. I mean, like, you know, insanity is doing the same thing and expecting a different result. I mean, he's done this 11 times, and you think it's going to be a different result. He knows it's not going to be. He thinks he could do this dance to you forever, that you're going to, you know, you're going to tolerate this. And, you know, you're moving away from some of the hurt right now, so, which is good, but it's, you know, you were soulmates and he hurt you, but I'm not hearing him, like you said, I'm not doing well, but he didn't answer that. I'm not hearing anything about what about you, or, and I'm not hearing we or us from him. It's me, 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 I got this, me. And you know, there's a level of narcissism in him that, you know, you're enabling. So, you know, I'd be a little tougher and firmer, because otherwise he's going to be doing this forever. Like, I've been doing this for 25 years, and Nicole's been doing this show for 12 years. We've heard people in this situation for 10, 15, 20 years. Okay? It doesn't end. These people don't stop because you enable it. And, you know, another woman might have given him a second chance or a third chance, but I doubt 11 chances. You know, it's just not acceptable behavior. And, you know, it also, I mean, he's hurt you. And now he acts like, you know, like a couple of weeks pass and, you know, everything's okay and I can just text you with, you know, I'm the dentist, blah, blah, blah. Like, what?
Yeah, like we're just buddies and he can just be like,
how
are you doing? I just got some dental work and I got a banana milkshake and my parents brought me home and, you know, like, I, like...
It's like what?
Nothing even happened.
And so he's a little bit not in reality, and, you know, maybe he's on pain pills or whatever. But I would seriously, you know, keep stating, if you have something to say, call me, okay? And if he doesn't call you, then you have nothing to say. If he calls you, you're going to have to say, look, you know, what's your intention? I'm looking for a committed relationship that's moving forward, okay? I'm not looking to do this sideways dance, okay, with you. So what's your story? And, you know, with commitment phobias, you can't do anything right or wrong. You could be so kind and enable them and give them space because blah, 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 they have issues, blah, 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 they've been hurt. You can do that, but you're just enabling a person not to heal. And there's a point where unconditional love is a message. You deliver an unconditional love to somebody, but it doesn't mean they can abuse you. It means I've delivered that message and you have abused it. And although I will probably continue to love you for the rest of my life, I'm going to have to love you like you died. I'll love you with my heart, soul, mind, but you are not bringing your body, your voice, your ego anywhere near me, because that's a part of him that's flawed. And, you know, there's no doubt you're the love of his life. There's no doubt he won't be offered another soulmate anytime soon. But this dance he's going to be doing for a long time. So you've already told him now, if you have something to say, call me. If he doesn't call you, then there is nothing to say. Okay?
Right.
If he starts texting you, I would just not answer the text. Okay?
Yeah.
You know, you might have to block his text. I mean, that forces him to have to call or do something else. You know, like if you block the text and the emails, they have to. At first, they may not realize it, but eventually they start to realize, oh, it's not getting a response. You may have to block him because if you see it, it doesn't seem like you're strong enough to ignore it.
Yeah.
So, you know, my advice would be that he's blocked from the texting. So if he's got something to say, you know, I would block him from social media, too, because he can see if you're with someone or in a relationship or what's happening. If he wants to know what's happening to you, you told him what he has to do. He has to make a phone call. So, you know, if you want to tell him you're going to block all this, the only way you're going to talk to him is through a phone call or in person. All other venues are off. Now, picture, people, this crap of ghosting coming and going is a pretty new phenomena, probably in the last 25 years. And it's mostly been since the advent of cell phones. In the past, like, there was one phone in a household. Do you think that any of your family members who picked up that phone and heard that shithead on the other end after he did it, you think they would let you talk to him? They'd hang up. They'd say, what the hell did you do to my daughter, my mother, my friend? Get out of here. And they'd hang up. People couldn't pull this crap because it was more public when everything happened. This is like this secret, you could talk to somebody secret and nobody knows about it. And even though I'm not supposed to be talking to him, I can do it. But that's almost like using a drug. Like, you're not supposed to be snorting cocaine, but I'm doing it with him and nobody's looking. Like, it's a sneaky thing. And so, you know, best advice to you is that you don't allow him to text you anymore. And you can't even respond to it, because if you respond to it, he's going to keep texting you. So don't answer the text.
I'm very tired of everything being on his terms, you know? Like, I'll ignore you for 2 weeks, but then I'll reach out and act like nothing happened. And that's also the new
master over women. The men are now the worst master slave ever. Women are taking so much crap in the name of love. Men used to own us, but we got a home respectability children out of it. We got something out of that equation. What are women getting out of, A, being mommy to a boy who doesn't grow up? That's the flip side of a master slave. And two, he's telling you can come this close, not that close. I'll call you, don't call me. Like, what? Like, you're allowing, you know, you didn't come this far in liberation, divorcing a man, supporting yourself and your children, to have a man be the worst master. You're taking so much crap in the name of love, more than any women have ever taken historically. That is a 21st century woman, very publicly emancipated, but very privately enslaved to men. And I think that was the final drill with my commitment phobic list. When my spirit guide said, Cindy, did you come this far in liberation to have a man call all the shots? I don't think so. And I want you to meditate on that this is him calling all the shots. And it has to be, soulmates are two equals. It's not him calling all the shots. So, you know, do me a favor and don't answer his text. You know, don't answer him. Then you have to pick up the phone, won't he? And, you know, figure out what's going on here. Like, no. You know, it's called textual abuse, okay? That's what I call it, textual abuse, okay? I don't think you need that, you know?
No.
Like, no, we're not having any of that.
Yeah.
And also, I don't want you to get where he starts aggravating you, and then in text you start getting nasty. You know, texts have a funny way of really getting nasty. So just block it and, you know, call in again and let us know. But, I mean, this is never going to change. Nicole, did you hear any of this? Do you have anything to say? Because Nicole's usually tougher than I am and on this particular topic, you know, but you know, she may still be screening people. But, you know, at this point.
No, I was listening. I was in and out, but I was listening.
Okay. So you know, he comes back 2 weeks later, acts like nothing happened. Like, oh, gee, I'm at the dentist. Like, my thing is she should just not answer his text at all. I don't know how you feel on it, but I think he's textual abuse a little too much.
The long-standing question is this. Was that the first time that he did something like that?
No. It's the 11th time.
Yeah.
Okay. So it wasn't the first time. It wasn't the second time. And it wasn't the third time. Okay?
Yeah.
So that should speak volumes right there. Okay, and that I'm. Did you tell him, hey, listen, you don't really appreciate it when he does that?
No.
Yeah, well, I have told him that before. So.
Okay, so then you told him how you felt about it, and he continues to ignore how you feel, and he continues to do what he wants anyway. So for me, okay, and Cindy actually did a very good job of giving you a little bit of tough love there. You know, I'm usually a little bit more harsh than she is. But I don't think that you need anybody to be any more harsh than Cindy already was on you. I think that in your heart of hearts, you know what you need to do. You're just afraid to do it. You know, so so the only thing that I'm going to tell you to do is that you need to find your courage with that. You need to be okay with yourself in order to have empower yourself to do that, and to have the willpower to not pick up his text and to not respond, or respond to something snarky and leave it. You know, and just be like, listen, I'm not playing this game with you anymore. You can continue texting me, but if you think I'm answering back, you're sadly mistaken. And then leave it at that and see if he persists.
Yeah.
And what you do is you just don't pick up another text after that, okay? Because otherwise, then you're giving him your power back. And you don't want to give him that power, you know? So that's the first thing. I don't think that anybody needs to beat up on you because Cindy did a pretty good job today. But, you know, but you need to, you know, you need to be, you know, for me, when I was stuck in commitment phobic behavior, it was really like a 2 or 3-folded sort of problem. You know, it was first I was afraid of not having that there, even though it was coming and going, it was still part of a routine. It was still something that kind of gave me like the butterflies when I got that text or when I got, you know, that message. You know, so it, for me, it was a little bit different or whatever, you know, even though I was not happy with that sort of behavior, I was happy to get the attention from that person. You know, without wanting to go move forward and actually fully commit, you know, commit to that person, you know. So it was, it facilitated a desire for me, but at the same time, though, I wasn't really happy with what I was getting. I was just forcing myself to be happy with less. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So if that's what it is for you, then, you know, start doing your inner work now. You know, while you guys are on a lull, start doing that inner work, you know, that inner working. Feel out the situation by yourself. You know, see what it is about him contacting you that draws you in. And once you identify what exactly is so intoxicating about this particular thing, you can find something else to be just as intoxicating that's more healthy for you.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, so you could almost replace the high that you get, you know, by him contacting you with a different kind of high that's actually better for you. You know, so that's the only thing that I'm going to tell you to do. I sincerely wouldn't answer the text anymore. That's not you ghosting him. That's you being fed up with the lack of respect for your feelings. Because what he's doing is he's saying, well, I don't care about how she feels. This is how I feel. I'm going to go and do my own thing, and when I want her to be there, she'll be there.
Right.
You know, and nobody, there's nobody. I'm married, and I would never, ever in a million years expect, you know, my wife would just expect me to be there just to be there. You know, we have respect for one another. You know, and that's what it is, the lack of respect for you. It's a lack of respect for your feelings, the lack of respect for your time, because he's just expecting you to jump just because he's decided to reach out. And that's not fair, and it's not right, and it's certainly not what you deserve.
Exactly. By the way, we're going to try to get a few more callers in. Good luck to you on this. You know,
please call back in.
We've all been there, done that, but
you benefit from our experience.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to be talking to you 10 years from now, Kristen, and you're telling me the same story 10 years from now.
No.
I'm not having this in 2030, okay?
I'm not getting any younger. I'm looking for great love. I've been through too much, and now I want a soulmate, and I want someone who loves me like I want to be loved. So,
right. So you just say, grant me a higher love, and God will hear that. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Thanks, guys.
Bye for now.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye.
Oh,
okay.
You did a pretty good job. You did a good job of giving some tough love there, Cindy. I was in and out, but I did hear a lot of that, and she seems very, very sweet. So
it was her spirit guides. Just they were pissed off at him. You know,
you know what though? Like, you know, and I say this to people all the time too. As much as it could be easy for us to be pissed off at the person doing the ghosting, or the person that's treating, you know, another person badly. The bottom line is this, and I've said this about myself, okay? So it's not like I'm just, you know, throwing shade on other people. People will only treat you as badly as you allow them to. You know, so as much as I would like to say, yeah, my ex was the Antichrist, yeah, my ex did this and my ex did that, you know what? No, because she only treated me how I allowed myself to be treated, you know, and that's the bottom line. So it's really not her fault. It's my fault for accepting that behavior. You know, and that's
exactly
what we all need to realize, is that we can be mad at another person for behaving badly. But if you continually allow that person to behave badly, the culpability and the onus is on you to fix it. It's no longer on them to fix themselves. Not until you put your foot down and you stop allowing people to treat you badly and you demand to be treated the way that you want to be treated. And if that person cannot do that and they continue to behave badly, then that's on them. But if you're allowing it, then it's a partial responsibility is on you, you know? And like I said, I'm not throwing shade. I've said this about myself, you know? Me and my ex had a very, very toxic relationship. And you know what? I tried to blame her for a very, very long time. And you know what I realized? I realized that, fuck, she was not the only person that did not do what they were supposed to do. I failed myself just as much as she failed me.
Wow. Well,
see, how's that for healing, Cindy? Grant me a higher love.
Grant me a higher love. And that's what we want today, okay? And well, now, I think you've screened Susan and tell me about Susan. I think I know who Susan is, but maybe our listeners don't. So go ahead.
Well, Susan has called in before, and basically she is calling us from New York. She's not seeing any hail as far as I know. And basically she just wants a little bit of an overall reading, Cindy. You know, she's contemplating going back to school. You know, she kind of wants to know if she's going to meet anybody. So we're going to just do an overall for her today. We're going to see if she's on the right path with going back to school. Maybe there's some new career opportunities for her. And who knows, maybe in one of these classes, Mr. Wright will come down and sit and ask for a pen. So here we go, out to Susan in New York. Hello, Susan, you're on the air.
Hi. I started school last semester.
Right, you're back in school. I knew that.
Yes.
Okay. She's definitely back in school. And, yep, the school looks great, actually. And, you know, it's working to your benefit, COVID. I hope you like that. You know, are you okay with being more home and not going to school all the time? Because it looks like you're going to do well. Actually.
It's less driving. It's just a lot of frustration with the electronics of it. I'm already frustrated with that because I couldn't even get into one of my classes for like a half an hour because she couldn't figure out how to let people in. And she let, I don't know, I guess people are hacking these Zoom things now. So now that school changed it and you have to let people in, and she let people in all at one time, and then I'm like, but I must have tried too early, and then I wasn't there when they let everybody in, and then she let everybody in, and then I'm stuck in a waiting room for like a half an hour. It's like ridiculous. So that
well,
part,
just have patience with it, because this is the way it is for everything in every way right now. So,
well, you know, she's not really good with technology. So, like, I don't think she understood that after you let everybody in, there might be more people waiting, and you have to individually let people in. So,
well,
I don't
know.
Well,
maybe you can email her and tell her that she needs to, like, give, like, a cell phone number or something so that you people could text her and let her know that you're...
That's kind of exactly what I did. I was almost like, is there a text, you know, is there somebody we should text? Because I don't really have, like, everybody's phone numbers and stuff, and I don't even know them. So it's almost like there's no calling or phone number list, and, you know, and if I email everybody in the class and ask them, no one's checking their email because they're in the middle of the class. And
right.
I don't know. And I also right. find that it is frustrating because then I can't look at the presentations that are there while they're teaching the class. So I almost think, wow, I got to sit there with a landline computer and then my other computer at the same time.
Yeah, well, that's what you have to do. We have to learn to be creative during this times, because it's just, you know, whatever works. But I wouldn't keep talking negatively about it, because it's only going to make it worse. The best thing you could start in the laws of attraction is saying, you know, I'm doing well in school and the technology is great, because eventually we'll get it right, you know. But it looks like from, you know,
like
how
part,
you're going
to
do.
It's just thinking, maybe I just need to use two computers every time I try to log on
to
a class.
That's what I would do. Because you know what? This is what I'm doing my whole life. I've got one computer on another one. I've got my iPad, I have like four things, my phone, my iPad, my Mac, and my HP, like at once. And somehow it all works by using four things at once. So do the two at once.
You really use four computers at once?
I use all four things at once, because I'm always looking
at
it. So I'm pretty good at juggling the things and doing them, but it seems like, because sometimes I won't work on one computer, it works on another. It won't work on the phone, it works on the Mac. So, you know, I've learned technology is funny. And when it's not working on one thing, I try another. So that's about it. Now, with you, it looks like, you know, you're going to do very good in school. I'm not worried about you. You're going to get through this, and you're going to get a great job at the end of it, which is the goal. You're actually opening the Wheel of Fortune, which is a five-year period which the universe would like to give you what you want, including that love interest. And, you know, that's a little tricky, because love's a little bit, you know, hard to find right now because of the nature of the way the world's a little bit shut down and locked down. But you're not supposed to be alone. So you don't have bad cards, Susan. They're actually really good. You know, these are the best cards I've seen on you. Like,
Well, you know what it is, though? I'm still, that guy ghosted me, and I haven't heard from him. And he's also mad at one of my other friends. He's mad at two of my other friends, too. But his father's dying. You know, at this point, I'm just like, his father's dying. He's not even in the right frame of mind. So I kind of was like, whatever, you know?
We can't make excuses for people's abuse. I don't care what's happening. The ghosting is never acceptable behavior. You know,
I was thinking that, too, and I did write him a letter.
Because you're being way too nice here, okay? Like,
what?
You're being way too nice about it. It's like, you know, take ghosting for what it is. It's a sign of a narcissist. Because we all have a second to respond to people, okay? That is, you know, sometimes they just don't know what to say. If they get scared, they run. They don't know what to say. They keep you on. But it's really a thing that, you know, if someone pulls the ghosting act on you, see it for what it is. And don't make it.
I did stick up for myself. I did write a letter, and then I didn't hear anything. So I kind of was like, you know what? If you want to be an asshole, then fine. I'm done, you know, in that sense. Like, I'm just going to try to focus on school and trying to maybe meet other people. And, you know, I'm not going to deal with, like, that kind of crap.
Right. And that's basically what I would tell you is, you know, you gave it a chance. It didn't work. But look forward now, because, like, basically – 2021 is when your life looks like you're going to start feeling like suddenly everything's gelling, school, you've sort of mastered this whole school thing, and then it makes room for love. So your cards are actually good. I'm not worried about you, and I'm so glad you're on this new career path, because you're going to be great at it. So,
you were right. I did get the scholarship, so that will help.
Of course you were going to get the scholarship. I wasn't worried about that. And that took
I still technically wanted to apply for another one. I don't know, there's just so much stuff going on. I'm going to just, you know, I started to do the process, but, you know, I didn't quite finish it. You know, like, I just almost got frustrated, and then, you know, like, I was trying to focus on what I would get more of the scholarship from and then go to the other one, because the other one is only $1,500. So I kind of put that at the bottom versus the other one.
You made a smart move.
Like, trying to prioritize
that,
in a sense of, you know, this one turns out to be more, you know, so I prioritized and just did this one, and then I'll try the other one maybe I probably missed it for this semester, obviously. So maybe I'll try it for next semester,
to get an
extra, money off the next semester. And
right.
I figure once I've been doing it maybe a year and a half, I'll start to feel more comfortable, because this is only the second semester. They're counting probably 12 to 15 credits. So it should feel like a year and a half, but it's really not. Once it actually gets towards then, I'll feel better about it once I get
right.
back into it. I think I'm in the point where I'm like, wow, I know who this person is, but I forgot what theory it was. I'm literally having to go, oh, wow, I know who they are, but I forgot. Not have to reread their theory or, get back into it that way, I guess.
Right. Well, just take it one day at a time and you'll do really well. Well, I want to try to get another caller because they'd like us to do at least three. So I'm going to go to the next one. But Susan, there's nothing bad in your cards. Just relax. You got this. Okay.
Would I meet somebody along the lines, like in a year or?
It looks like 2021 is a good year for you for meeting someone. So. Get your school going first because, that's your top priority. And then let that lead you to your love because somehow it looks all linked to me. So, you might, when the world opens up at school, you might meet some people who, and that will help you meet this person. But love is definitely in your cards for you. So I'm glad to see that too because you really could, that would make your life really special. And that's what you need.
Because, it's like for me, I want my own family. Because I'm not really, getting along with my actual family. So,
all right.
That's
what your goal is. Keep visualizing and, look toward, the positive. See yourself with love. See yourself with a great career. And don't look back so much because you're not going to change that family. They are who they are. Well, good luck to you. I'm going to try to get friends.
Thank you.
Bye. Have
Thank
a great
you,
week.
Susan.
We'll speak again soon.
You too.
Bye.
Okay,
so we have Fran. I wanted to make sure we got her. Okay, she's
yes,
a first-time
yes.
caller.
She's a first-time caller, and I'm going to let Fran tell you her story, Cindy, but she did lose her husband 3 years ago. I will let Fran tell you the house surrounding that. And basically, after 3 years of losing her husband, she's finally healing, and she just wants to know, now that she's finally ready for it, whether or not she's going to be able to move on and meet someone. So here we go out to, yes, I love it. So here we go out to Fran in New York. Hello, Fran, you are on the air.
Hey, Cindy, how are you?
Hi, Fran, I'm so sorry for your loss, and maybe you could share with us if you would like to. And by the way, your husband is standing here saying he's sorry. And that
mm-hmm.
you were a very good wife. Do you know that you were a good wife?
Yes, I do. He was a good husband. He was a good husband, for a very long time. And things got rough, for a while. He did take his own life, and that's why he's sorry. And I get all of that. And, now we're trying to heal. We miss him terribly, of course, but I understand, And I just want him to rest in peace now.
And he is resting in peace. You have two children or three?
I have two.
Okay, because he's crying. He started crying when he said children, and
mm-hmm.
He misses them a lot. He doesn't want them to think it was anything to do with him or you. He's asking you to forgive him, and he is resting in peace. He's trying to. He would want more than anything for you to be with a soulmate. And soulmate love comes from God and someone who died.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a soulmate pick for you. I think you needed to have that 3 years of mourning for him and, getting your children, to just feel secure again. And the soulmate's coming if you're ready for it. Do you feel you're ready?
I do. I feel, after this whole storm hit and there was, I found myself one night, with the tree, and I said to myself, this isn't how I want to be. I want to start living. I felt like I was dead, too, for a long time.
Of course
that
you did.
Really, you know, and trying to be a good example for my kids, you know, had to reinvent myself career-wise, and I really feel like I've done a great job with that. Kids are so proud of me. I'm proud of myself. I do things I never thought I would do as far as business goes. But that one piece is I'm lonely. You know, I had him 25 years of my life. I thought he was my soulmate.
He was a soulmate. We have more than one soulmate. You definitely were soulmates when you first met him. You know, was he on antidepressants, by the way?
I think he should have been.
Right, because he said he was extremely depressed. And it wasn't anything to do with you or the children. But when depression gets...
Cindy, he held it in. I didn't even know. He was so good at that. And he didn't
masking it, not
share
showing.
With me. He didn't share with me.
Right, and because there were some issues from his childhood he never dealt with, and they started to come at him pretty strong. And what good people do is get depressed, because depression is sort of like a motor that runs and runs. And it's usually a low-grade depression, which he had his whole life, but he had lived with it, and he sort of, you know, it was kept in check. But when certain things started surfacing in him, the depression got stronger as a way of blocking, you know, he didn't want to face it and see it. He's dealt with that on the other side, but he should have talked about it. But I don't know if you know about his family dynamics, but it seems like they never talk about anything that mattered. So.
Oh, no, you're so right. You're so right. Absolutely.
So he was taught from the day he was born, don't air your dirty laundry, don't speak about things that matter. And when you're raised like that, you get a lot of anxiety to talk about things that are real. I know that was my childhood, and I learned to talk about things even though it caused me anxiety because I knew I was breaking the family, don't talk about stuff. And so I did it in spite of the anxiety, but his was so ingrained, do not speak about it. And so how can you heal issues? Like, all you need really to do is share some of this stuff with one person, and it kind of goes away, 80% of it, okay? But he was so, so not able to discuss it with you, nor did he want to burden you with it. And he's sorry because he knows you would have helped him and been compassionate to him. And,
I mean, I would have, and that's what I struggle with. You know, I feel like if I would have been giving the voice, you know, maybe things would have been really rough, but maybe we could have found each other on the other side. You know what I mean?
Right. And he needed therapy, which I don't think he seek therapy because he really needed it.
He was not that kind of man. He was very proud. He was like kind of macho, you know.
Yeah, and of course, in his family, he would kill him if he went to therapy because, you know, it's part of the... he really needed therapy, and he, you know, he's healed the issues on the other side, you know, pretty quickly. But the point is, he never wants you to think you failed him. He said he failed you by not opening up to you, and that.
God. Those are his words exactly, because he did leave a note, and those are his words exactly.
I know, and that's why he told me to use those words. He told me the words to say, that you would know it's him talking, and that he thought if he talked about this stuff, almost like if you talk about it, you're going to die, you just can't. And the pain just got so great that, you know, it was now if he could do it again, over again, he would seek therapy and talk to you and get it out and heal it. But that's hindsight quarterback now, okay? And his intention in doing this was not to hurt you or the children. It was that the pain was so great and he couldn't carry it any longer. And he's, again, stressing how sorry he is, but he's under obligation to bring you another soulmate. We have more than one soulmate. And this is so your children can see if you love someone perfectly. And he said you loved him perfectly. He has nothing bad to say about you or the children. You were the best thing that ever happened in his life, and so were the children. And he, because you loved him perfectly, and of course you couldn't help him, and he wants me to tell you what I always say. Like, I've had clients that have killed themselves, and I have pretty always been clear to tell them that I'm not a therapist. I'm not competent to help you with this. You need to go to therapy, okay? Like, I know when it's not my job. And yet, when I'm asking them questions, they won't answer me. And I said, if you lie to me, I can't help you. If you don't answer the questions I'm asking you, I can't help you. And
right.
So when it happened once, and I felt devastated, and I actually said to God, I am not doing this anymore. You know, this is terrible. And, you know, I heard this man say to me, you didn't fail me, Cindy, I failed you. You asked me and I lied to you. And you can't help when people lie. And I wasn't doing the things I was supposed to be doing. And I didn't go to the therapist and I didn't do those things. So it wasn't you, it was me. Like, if your husband didn't tell you what was going on, you're not a mind reader. And we
right.
can't help people if they don't let us in. And so he's asking you to, he takes 1,000% blame on this, that, and you're not a therapist, you're not a psychiatrist, you're his wife, okay? It's not
right.
your job to psychoanalyze him, okay? That's not your job. And so you were the most loving wife, and that he wants you to have another soulmate so your children can see if you love someone properly, and if they should die, you get another soulmate, because you don't want your children to be so afraid to love someone who could die on them, so they'll never let anybody in. They'll be like, I don't want to love that much. So he's going to bring you a soulmate. It's going to feel a little scary at first because, you know, some of your unhealed issues are going to surface, and some of those pertain to your husband's suicide.
Yeah.
Because there's anger there that I'm not sure you totally have expressed, and you have a right to be angry at him over it. And good people never want to be angry. We're like, no, we have compassion, we understand. But I want you to love yourself the way you love your children. And, you know, if this happened to one of your, and it did happen to your children, but if it was their mate, how angry would you be at that situation? You would feel anger. And so some of those emotions might come out.
I said it was like a big ball of all different emotions, you know, anger, hurt, being scared, you know, not knowing what I'm doing next. I mean, he did leave me with an awful lot of trouble. I'm trying to work through it all. I have worked through a lot of it. And it's like, you know, I felt like, wow, you left me with all stuff that I have to go through, and I have to do it with the kids, you know? So that
right,
was where my anger really was from, because it's so hard to be with someone for that long and so very much, and then see that really everything around me wasn't what the truth was. There was a lot of underlying stuff. I didn't know anything about it. I felt like I was living a lie.
And that's what he's apologizing. And then you could see the mess he left behind that he tried to run from, too. Okay, so.
He did. That's what he did, you know.
Oh.
And
and he said that he was a coward, and he's sorry for that. And that's his word, not mine, okay? Because I wouldn't say that about anybody.
Mm-hmm.
He said he was a coward. He lacked the courage to do what he had to do. Or, like, he was too ashamed. Like, remember, his childhood made him shame-based, okay? A shame-based person doesn't handle failure, financial ruin, the way other people handle it. The other people handle it like, okay, you know, we have this financial problem, or I screwed up. And they're not shame-based, so they seek help, and they ask help, and they're here to fix it. If you're a shame-based person because that's what your childhood made you, you don't have the tools to handle when devastation hits. You just don't. You don't have it. And so
he
handled the way he was taught to handle, just run from it, hide.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's dealt with it now. The person he's going to bring for you is a very strong man, kind, will be a good father figure for the children, and is very financially solvent, is the word your husband gave me, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that he'll just bring some happiness and joy. And he showed me this picture of this husband and wife and two happy kids. Like, he wants the joy to return to the house, and that you know, you deserve that, okay? And, you know, he's sorry that he left you such a mess, okay? And, again, you can have compassion for him because he just felt so overwhelmed. And that's what happens to people. Sometimes they just start feeling everything gets too much and it snowballs and it just gets bigger and bigger, and they're lying and not telling you that there's trouble because, you know, he's the man, he's the macho, he's supposed to carry this cross all by himself and he's supposed to fix it all by himself, except he didn't have the tools to fix it. And, you know, it's a lesson for all of us there. If we have a problem, if we're feeling that we're, you know, we're drowning, and that, you know, financially or emotionally, ask for help, okay? People are there to help, and ask God for help, because sometimes God would have sent him someone to help him. It wouldn't have been you, but maybe someone else could have come to help him, a therapist, someone else besides
well,
you.
He and was so admired and so loved, and he
of
helped
course he is. He's,
people.
He's people very kind from the other side, and I like him very much. He's being very truthful. He's being very honest, and he's taking responsibility. But, you know, people can be loved, very loved on the outside because they're not sharing things and they're not showing what's going on inside. And everybody thinks we're this great, easygoing people, that everything's perfect, you know. And that's the face he showed the world.
That is exactly it. And I tell you, for the most part, that's what he was. He was kind. He was gentle. He was loyal. He was a good man. And it's scary.
Yeah.
Very scary out there for someone like me who had that for a very long time to say, wow, he was one of a kind. Is there somebody like that could ever replace him?
Right. Well, he's going to have a lot of the good traits that your husband had, except the one thing he said this soulmate has is he talks about his true feelings.
Okay.
He talks, and you'll know your husband brought this man, because after a while you're going to say, can you shut the hell up about your feelings? You know, okay, I heard it. I got it. Okay, enough. So your husband is funny, because that's what he just told me to tell her. You'll be saying, shut the hell up, honey. But your husband is thanking me. That's how, you know, he thanked me 4 times. For delivering the message as exactly as he said, and not censoring them, or, you know, because, you know, we all want to sometimes censor messages, but I'm not allowed to. I have to say exactly as he says it, and
right.
He wanted it delivered the way he said it, and he said you were the love of his life, and you were his best friend, and that he will rest in peace. Finally, fully, when you have a new love in your life and your children have their loves of their lives, and then he'll really feel like, okay, I can rest. So he has his work up there. He's got to pick soulmates for everybody. He's got a lot of work he's got to do. You know, so.
You know, I feel guilty a lot of times. I don't go to the cemetery. He knew I wasn't a cemetery person. I hated having to pick where he should be. Because I felt like he belonged to us, he didn't belong there. And I never went back with him. I don't know if he...
No, well, first of all, let me tell you why he wanted me, of all psychics, to read you. And believe me, he's the one who put that thought in your head to call into our show.
I didn't expect to get read. I didn't expect to get in touch with you tonight. I didn't. I just said, let me try.
Oh, no, your husband would make sure you got through, and he kept haunting me. Get to Fran. Get to Fran! Okay, and the dead hate the cemetery. When I don't want to talk to dead people, I go to a cemetery, because unless there's living there, there's not a dead person there. So if you like going to the cemetery, if that's your thing, then they'll come visit there, but they prefer that you meet them in the backyard on a beautiful day, go to the beach, sit there and talk to him, put some flowers on the table and talk to him. But they prefer to be in your home. He prefers to be there. He's allowed down on earth about 100 hours a month. He visits your house. He'll watch TV. He'll keep you company. But do not feel guilty if you don't go to the cemetery, because he's never there unless you go to visit. So he's fine with that, okay?
That's good to know.
He's fine. And well, thank you for calling in. And do us a favor and call in again. We're going to be cut off in about a minute because we're over time, and they usually don't let us go more than a few minutes over time before they cut us off. So I want to make sure I say goodbye to everybody. And thank you for sharing your story with us. And again, that's what your husband wanted. Share the story.
I appreciate it so very much. Thank you for this.
And good luck to you, and love is coming, and thanks for sharing your story. Good night, everybody. Good night, Nicole. Thank you for everything, and I can see they're going to shut us off in about 5 seconds.
Yes, it's counting down right now, Cindy.
I know,
all right,
I see
guys,
that.
Thank you very much for calling in. Thank you to Fran for calling in and sharing her story. Cindy, when we were in the chat room, Fran had said that if she gets to help one person by telling her story, that everything would not have been in vain. And I'm so happy that her husband came through, and I'm happy that people got to hear a little bit about Fran. Fran, please call into our show again and let us know how you're doing. And Cindy, as always, fantastic job tonight. And we'll talk to everybody next week.
Bye, everybody. Stay well.